This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And good morning, I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 3rd, 2010. It's our third episode, and it's sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World. How are you guys?
I'm good. Hey, Jamie, this is going to be a fun show. I'm going to relax and have a much better time today because I am confident that technology is actually going to work today.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm thinking positive thoughts. My geekiness is coming out now. I'm on the ball. Everything is good. I do want to apologize to everybody for yesterday. We had a problem with the player. It was a bit of a coding issue, and I hate to say who did the coding. We're not going to talk about that. So I had a geek, geekier than me, take a look at it for a couple hours yesterday, and we're hoping it's working this morning. And we would love to hear from somebody and let us know that the player actually started this morning, that people can listen to the show. And the way I want to do that, Jamie, is we're going to start off by giving something away. I have a copy of Thomas Foley's book. Remember, he was the jockey yesterday that was in the movie Secretariat.
Uh-huh.
His book, The Simple Game, an Irish Jockey's Memoir. I have a copy of his book for the first caller. So if you call right now to 347-637-3238. Let us know, first of all, that the player actually worked and that you're listening to the show. And tell us, give us a call. We would love to give this book to you. We'll have it sent out to you today. So that's Thomas Foley's book, The Simple Game, for the first caller to 347-637-3238. You know, I wanted to say too, Jamie, it's funny, my wife said yesterday, because obviously yesterday I was kind of stressed out during the show. We had some issues yesterday that came up, several of them, including people couldn't listen to the live show on the player because the code was incorrect. So we were dealing with, I was trying to deal with all of that during the show while you were actually doing the show. And I want to thank you. You are such a professional. You deserve a round of applause today. Because you covered so well yesterday. You did such a great job.
I don't know if covering well was an option. I covered, and I really appreciate you, doing all the work behind the scenes, too. So round of applause for you and your very geeky friend who helped us with the player. So we really do appreciate that. But forget about yesterday's show. We're going to move on
because we're going to be
working, and we want to hear from you. First winner gets a copy of Thomas Foley's book. But what we want to do too is we want to talk to Jennifer, our producer, and let her tell you guys what's coming up on the show.
And we're going to get to that in just a moment because I think she's taking our first caller. Somebody called in already to win that book. So we'll get to that. Let me tell you first, while she's doing that, I wanted to, yesterday, remember I talked about affiliates. We have a lot of websites that are carrying our show that we're so appreciative of, and
they're confident
in us, and, a lot of these carry all of our shows, and they become friends of the Horse Radio Network over the last couple of years. Well, I wanted to name a couple more today, and here is some more of them that are affiliates that have our player on their, usually on their home pages, where you can go listen to our show at their website. And let's go down to the list here. HorseCity.com. They've been a friend of ours for a very long time. They carry all of our shows, thanks to the good folks over at Horse City. Kentucky Performance Products, a good sponsor. We're going to talk about later in the week. Omega Alpha, Monday's title sponsor. Regarding Horses, which is one of the best blogs in the horsing world. In the horsing world? How about the horsing world?
That works.
RegardingHorses.com, Right Lead Equestrian Center, of course, that's Michelle from Michelle's Movie Reviews. Slow Horse News, which is a new friend to the Horse Radio Network, and they're at Slow Horse News, that's S-L-O, horsenews.com, and thehorse.com. And we want to give a shout-out to The Horse. They're going to be on a little bit later. I don't want to steal Jennifer's thunder, but they're going to be out with us a little bit later. And on with us a little bit later, and they did a great write-up about us on their website today at thehorse.com. And we appreciate that. So thank you to the to everybody over at The Horse. They're good friends of ours, and they're here in Lexington, Kentucky, which is really cool.
So good morning, everybody. Yeah, listening on our affiliate station, good morning.
And Jennifer, I think, is free right now. So why don't you tell us what's going on today?
Oh, yeah, I'm on. Today, coming up, great show. We've got Behind the Scenes with Darlene Newman. You may be familiar with her PBS show that won a Daytime Emmy called Equitrekking, all about awesome, fun travel things to do that involve horses. So that was really cool coming up. Also, we have on today Richard Schrake, world-famous trainer, judge, designer of training systems as well as training products, all-around great horseman and very interesting to listen to talk to. He's a great guy. He's going to be coming up a little bit later. And as Glenn mentioned, we're going to have the folks from thehorse.com to give us a little intro on what their monthly segment's going to be all about. They're weekly, aren't they? They're going to come in here a lot to see us. And thehorse.com covers a huge variety of horse topics, a lot of them health-related, but some of them not. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what or hearing what Christy and Steph have to say about that later on in the show. And I think we've got somebody who wants to win our book online.
Oh, well, let's get it looks like Jackie's on here. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Okay. Did the player work today?
It does.
Yay!
Obviously. Yeah, you're listening live to Horses in the Morning. It works. Hallelujah.
I was so happy when I turned it on and heard fresh voices this morning.
Oh, good. We're happy too, Jack. And it looks like I get to send you the book, The Simple Game, an Irish Jockey's Memoir by Thomas Spoley. So
that's
we'll be
sent. I'm a bookworm.
Yes, I know you are. And we should mention that Jackie is of Regarding Horses. We just mentioned your website here, so
I
we encourage everybody to go over there. Jackie's been a listener of ours since day one, and we really appreciate you listening and calling and let us know things are working, and we actually have people listening. So that's a good
thanks,
deal.
Thanks, Jackie.
Hey, Jackie, I wanted to ask you real quick, have you been following Zenyatta?
Not a whole lot. I've been seeing all of this stuff coming across Twitter and Facebook, but I don't get too deeply into it.
Well, you're going to want to listen on Friday because we're going to do some Zenyatta stuff on Friday that I think will excite everybody.
Oh,
so we're,
cool.
We're looking forward to that on Friday. And we appreciate you being – Jackie, while you're on here, I have to bring this up. Jamie, did you see Facebook this morning on the Horses in the Morning page?
Oh, yes, I did.
Did you see?
And you just love it.
I don't know if Jackie saw it, but I have to give a shout out to Marie Ann Hendry.
I'm
going
to look. Yeah. Marie Ann Hendry wrote this morning, Glenn, you must be the sexiest man on radio. Just so you appreciate my high standards, I think Norm Abrams of this old house is the sexiest man on television. Love the show. How about that, guys? It made me feel so. No wonder I'm in a good mood today.
Now, Glenn, here's the deal, though. You told me before you didn't know if that was a compliment or not. And
I'm taking it as a compliment.
I Googled Norm Abrams, and oh my gosh, he could be your twin.
He had no idea who he was.
I know. He's got the same beard and kind of looks like a lumberjack. So if all you need to do is put on a flannel shirt and you guys would be, you know, complete twins. So.
Hey, guess what, all? He has the flannel shirt.
I have the flannel shirt, yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably the Norm Abrams collection.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, thanks,
Jack,
Marie.
Get back to work.
We needed that.
I think I should do that.
All right. Talk to you later. Thanks, Jackie. And
we'll
get your information and ship the book out to you.
All right.
All right. Bye, Jackie.
That was great for Jackie to call in and let us know that we might have listeners this morning. We appreciate that.
Well, we have at least one.
Hey, so you think that I'm just taking that out of context and I shouldn't be so happy that I was called the sexiest man on radio. By the way, Wayne Williams, eat your heart out.
Glenn, you know what? You just take that compliment and run with it. Just go with
it. I'm going to.
You know? I'm going to print
it out and put it right on the wall above my computer. And, you know, Marie, if you're listening today, call in later. We have our call-in segment later in the show. Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. He would love to hear how high you think he is. So, yeah, so if anybody wants to call, though, let me just take a chance to give out the phone number. I know it's you need to probably write it down, 347-637-3238, and that's the number to call. And if you want to get on the air, all you have to do is tell Glenn he's good-looking and has a great voice. And then you will definitely be a part of the show. He'll probably give you a prize.
Well, you know, you did it for 10 years. You worked in Atlanta radio, and you had all of those guys calling in, swooning over you for 10 years. Now I have to enjoy a little bit of that, too.
Oh, I go for it. Do it. Own it.
I do know that we have guys that listen, too, so they could do the same thing to get on the show if they talk about Jamie. So that could happen, too. Jamie, I wanted to mention, too, that the iPhone, we had a couple of questions and we haven't addressed it the last couple of days, and I wanted to bring it up. People are asking if they can listen on their iPhone or their Droid, and we have been working on a solution to that. We were looking at doing an application, and we've been talking to the app designers about that. We may have accidentally stumbled on, with the help of John the Geek yesterday, when we were trying to fix the other thing, we may have stumbled on a way for you to listen on your iPhone or your Droid without an application, and it's very, very easy that you would be able to listen to the show live. We're testing it now. I'm actually waiting to hear the responses from the testers. So as soon as the testers get back to me, I will let you know. Hopefully later in the show or tomorrow, we'll know whether that worked. So we're hoping that it works, and that would mean that you could listen to the phone live streaming on your iPhone or any Android phone live, and then you can be able to call in anytime you want, and it's a very easy solution. So we were thrilled. We hope it works.
Well, that'll be great, because I swear my father cannot wrap his brain around you have to go to a website to listen to us. But his girlfriend has a Droid, so we should be good. Once she's probably a little more tech savvy than him, so he just really cannot grasp the fact that he's like, "What station are you on?" I said, "Dad, it's on the internet."
No.
But what radio station? Like, it's on the internet, Dad. So bless his heart. That's what we say in the South when you know you're kind of giving somebody a hard time. Bless his heart, his girlfriend is going to help him figure out how to use the Droid. So thank goodness for her.
Well, I wanted to ask you, too, when we did our pre-show this morning, it's kind of funny, you made a comment that always perks everybody's ears up. You said, "My butt hurts." And, of course, you know, the next question is, why does your butt hurt? And you told us the story of what happened yesterday, which is, I think, going to lead into what we want to talk about with callers later on in the show.
You know, I'm actually kind of sitting on my right cheek right now, and I'm sitting on a pillow, actually, this time, too. And, yeah, I had one of those moments yesterday. Let me say, Glenn, my horse, one of my horses, my baby, is 1,350 pounds. He's 16'3". He's a giant warm blood and doesn't have a mean bone in his body. He is the sweetest guy in the world. However, yesterday, I think that the worst things happen when you get too comfortable around your horse. And it was one of those moments where, you know, I walked in the stall. You know, the wild horses that I have outside, the rescues and all that, I'm super slow and cautious and careful. But my own horse, you know, you walk in the stall. Yesterday, I was on my phone with the vet, had my, you know, my phone on, kind of cocked sideways, hands free, you know, like between my shoulder and my ear. I'm putting the halter on him in his stall. Well, right next to him is the gate. And exactly at the time that I'm on the cell phone, I'm putting the halter on, I'm reaching up in the air, my husband drives the gator into the fence by accident. So
this guy flies F-16 jets and he's scratching your gator?
No, you would think the guy flies the $30 million jets. He should be okay driving a gator. But
may I point out, there are no gates at 30,000 feet.
Well, that's true. There aren't any gates at 30,000 feet. That is true.
You are correct. So he runs into the gate. And the noise just makes my horse erupt. I mean, he just spooks like no end. and he actually just flat knocked into me and ran over me. And of course, I don't have, you know, my hands are up in the air, my phone is in between my ear, and he just knocked me flat. Now, I landed on my left butt cheek, and my torso is so sore, my abs are sore, my arms are sore, and he also kind of hit me in my leg. Thank God he didn't step on me, so because it could have been a lot worse. Right now, I just have a very sorry husband and a very apologetic husband, I should say, and some sore muscles. So I got pretty lucky. But what we want to talk about later, if you want to call in any time, is let us know that dumb moment that you had with your horse or your friend had with their horse, because, you know, there's always things you do when you just get careless around horses, and it doesn't matter how safe you are, you got that one horse that you're just not taking, you know, all the precautions you should, and now I will never be on my cell phone handling my horse ever again.
Do we need laws now? You know how they're making all these laws you can't, you know, be talking on your cell phone when you drive. Now we're going to have a barn law. We can't be talking on our cell phone in the barn now.
I know. I think that would be a great idea because I certainly need the help there.
I have to tell you guys, I have a couple of stories that we'll talk about later in the show when we get to the call-in segment about stupid barn accidents that I did some of them and Jennifer did some of them and some of our relatives did some of them. So we have some great stories there, and I'm sure everybody does too, so they can give us a call a little bit later about that. But first, you know, we're going to tell everybody what they're going to win if they call in today. We have our daily prize, and what today's is really cool. It's a trio of custom stall signs or barn or, you know, stall signs, personalized signs from EasySignsOnline.com. So you can get your horse's name, you know, for the stall or above your tack room. You know, they're little personalized farm signs, and there's going to be a three-pack of them worth about $100. From EasySignsOnline.com. And what a great gift that would be for Christmas, Jamie, to get your friend, or to heck with giving it out to somebody, keep it yourself.
I need a farm sign for sure.
Yeah, you do. You need to get a hold of him. And he said he'd fix you up. So
right.
It's EasySignsOnline.com is the name of the company, and they have sponsored our prize for today. It's a trio of personalized custom stall signs. And so everybody can use those for something in the barn.
All right,
and then, of course,
you know, the prizes for the month, we've mentioned them every day, and we will continue to because they're such a big deal. Every caller that we put on the air is going to get their name put in a hat and drawn out at the end of the month. You're going to get a $500 shopping spree from Equestrian Collections. You can view all their stuff at equestriancollections.com. Also, your choice of any Vespucci bridle, and that's worth up to $600, and we want to thank worldequestrianbrands.com for doing that.
Terrific. Our first guest today, I'm very excited about. She is an Emmy Award-winning, a daytime Emmy Award-winning TV girl, and she does a terrific job with the show Equitrekking on PBS and now all over the world. And, of course, that is Darlee Newman. Are you there, Darlee?
I am here, and I was listening and thinking of stories when you were talking about careless stuff.
Now, you
oh
have
my
traveled, you have
all,
traveled all
there.
Over the world. You probably, and that's what we're going to have you on about. We're having you come on with us once a month doing Behind the Scenes, a segment called Behind the Scenes, and that's what we're going to be talking about because you travel all over the world, and you and I had a phone conversation one day, and we were like, what could we do that's a little different? And you said, I could tell some of the stories that nobody has seen on the show. So,
yeah.
So that's what first, tell us, for those that don't know or don't get it or aren't familiar with it, tell us about Equitrekking. What is it? How'd you get started? That kind of thing.
Equitrekking is the travel TV show I host and produce. It's on PBS. And actually, Glenn, it's starting in Kentucky. The new season starts on Mondays at 7 p.m. starting this coming Monday. So, yeah, check your local listings because it's on in different times in different places. But we go all over the world and we horseback ride with local people. And, you know, we experience culture and history and we ride different breeds. So it's always a challenge for me because I'm always riding different horses. And it's, I don't know, that's been one of the most interesting parts of doing this, because I just never, you never know what you're going to get. Like, and uh-huh. I've had some awesome horses, I have to say, and usually they're good, but you just never know.
But you, every girl in the world, this is probably every horse person in the world, you have the dream job of every one of them.
Yeah, well, I thought mine was good.
No, this was my dream. I mean, I don't know. Like, it was a crazy idea. I was like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if I could horseback ride around the world and travel and, you know, experience just so many different things. And, it was a challenge to make it happen, but it's worked out so far. It's really caught on. People that aren't even into horses watch the show just because it's so beautiful.
There's a little understatement. You won an Emmy last year, and you were nominated for one this year. You got to go down the red carpet with all the big celebs.
I know. It's crazy. Ooh. It's crazy.
You got to wear your fancy dress and look all pretty, and you didn't look like a horse girl at all going down that red carpet.
Did everybody yell, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing?
Yeah. They were like, who are you? I was like, it's me. I'm on PBS.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. That is awesome. So what, Darlie, you've been all over the world, and you're going to continue to go all over the world. What exactly are you know, what's your favorite place that you've been?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I have to say I love Ireland. That's definitely at the top of my list because there's so many great places to go. I love Castle.
Be honest. You love Ireland because you could drink from pub to pub to pub on the ride.
You know what, though? It's the characters. The people make the trip, and there's so many awesome people in Ireland. They're so warm and friendly, and the horses are chill. They're like laid-back horses there, too. I mean, you can get the spirited horse, but I just love the personalities there, and it's so beautiful. So how can you go wrong there? But the Ireland's at the top. I love Costa Rica. I love Hawaii. Jordan is fascinating. There's so many great places. You really, you know, can't go wrong by just putting your finger on, putting your finger on the globe and being like, let's go here.
So do you have, on the opposite side of that, do you have a least favorite place?
I've definitely had least favorite experiences and challenges. And it's not determined by the place. I think it just, you know how life is. It's just weird sometimes, and you never know what's going to happen. And definitely when we film our show and when we travel, you cannot really plan it. I mean, we have everything planned out so well, and then, you know, just something changes and it's different. I got sick in Jordan. I loved Jordan, but I got sick when I was there.
Oh,
something I ate, you know, and it was, being sick when you're traveling is just not fun. And when you're traveling and you're in the car.
Oh, no.
And you're like, where are the 7-Elevens? Where are the gas stations? There's like nothing here. Because you're driving. We like drove into the desert, and I was heading out to do this multi-day trek in the desert, and I'm just so sick. And I was like, are you serious? Now I'm going to go into the desert. It's over 100 degrees. I'm going to go ride in the desert for 3 days. I think I'm going to die. But I thankfully got some medication and was okay. And I spent the day riding, but at the end of the day, and this is like, if you watch the episode, it looks beautiful because we're in this beautiful place. The scenery must have taken my mind off it or something. But at the end of the day, I still didn't feel totally right. And we're in the middle of the desert, and they made this huge feast. They had buried a lamb in the ground and brought it out on a huge platter with, like, yogurt sauce and all this stuff. And I was thinking, can I just have some bread or crackers? Like, I don't want the yogurt-soaked lamb. I can't do it right.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, my gosh. Well, you have the most amazing stories.
Now, do you plan every little thing, or do you allow some room for improv in the shows? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God, there's so much improv because – we just, you know, when you get there, we have everything mapped out as far as the route we're going to take and how we're going to film it and where we're going to go. But when you get there, you kind of just throw it out the window because you have to take things as you go. So definitely things are not planned. And what we say and do is not planned because I just don't even know what we're going to see or discover that day. So it's really interesting. It's reality in that sense.
Wow. So tell us about, let's start. What's one of the stories that are the behind-the-scenes funny things that happens that we don't see on the show? Can you pick one for us this month?
Sure. I have a funny one that I would categorize into, like, an extreme adventure.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about it earlier, and I was like, well, we've eaten all these crazy things. We have, you know, these beautiful, serene rides, and then we have these crazy adventures. We have, you know, long days in the saddle. In Scotland, I would characterize a crazy adventure. I was riding with an endurance rider who competes, you know, all over, and she was serious. Like, she was serious. We were going to Loch Ness, and we had to meet our film crew in a different location. And so she was telling me, her name's Candy, and she was like, darling, so we're going to do a little bit of a longer ride, and we're going to go, you know, in through the forest and meet them at the lake because that's the way we have to get to Loch Ness. And I was like, okay, well, that sounds good. Oh, my gosh. We took off, and it was like trotting, cantering for, I think we were doing it for like 45 minutes. It wasn't just like, you know, nice trotting and cantering. We're heading through woods that haven't been trimmed. Like, the tree branches, I'm, like, ducking. Like, it was like an obstacle course. And Candy just keeps going, come on, let's go. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get my head taken off on this ride with this Scottish woman. But I survived. No, it was crazy, and I really wanted the film crew to be back there in the woods with me. And I was like, I really wish they could be experiencing this with me.
So, Darlie, you're out there with, you know, some really amazing equestrians, you know, riders that have been all over the world that are, I mean, taking you through the woods. What is your background in riding to where that is, you're comfortable with that?
You know, I think it's just riding a lot. I've never competed. I've always done this for fun and pleasure. And though I do hunter jumper stuff here, and I train and try to jump and do that, you know, it's all for fun for me. So my background is, you know, I feel like I've really gotten to be a better rider and gotten the confidence by just riding so many different horses throughout my life, but especially on the show. And I'm sure that I'm a much better rider now, or at least prepared for those crazy things that happen. Or, you know, you just don't know. And the different styles, it's so fascinating to just go and get on a horse and maybe ride in a different way that you haven't tried before. So you know, honestly, I'm not a professional, and I'm not, you know, competing, and I'm not a world-class endurance rider. So when I go out with these people, I'm definitely challenged. But most of the time, they realize that, and they're like, oh, let me take it down a notch. But sometimes not.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounded like that lady didn't take it down a notch at all. So Yeah, exactly. So you would say the best way to just to become a better rider, from what I understand what you're saying, is that you just have to get on a bunch of different kind of horses and just try everything.
Well, I do think that's a good way to get better. I mean, I know a lot of people have their horse and they don't change it up as much. So I think when you do go somewhere else and you take a riding vacation, or you go out with a friend on maybe their horse or something, I think that's a good way to just try something new and just get used to something different. And, I do think that's a way to get better, because you're challenged in a different way. What do you guys think?
I agree with you.
I think
best way to learn to ride and the best way to train your horse is just, you know, put your butt in the saddle and ride. And I totally agree with you that doing it in different places and different everything is going to help you and your horse. So I do totally agree with you. And I'm absolutely so jealous of your job. Like, I thought this was a pretty awesome job. But talking to you, we need to be best friends.
See, she's going to be quitting already. She just started.
Oh, no.
Look what you did, darling. Thank you, darling.
Yeah.
We appreciate you being on. I know you have to get to doing some editing for your show. Remind everybody where they can find out about the show and your travel agency, for that matter.
You can go to our website, equitrekking.com, and we've got, you know, video clips, information about the new season, travel articles. And then equitrekkingtravel.com is a place where you can find out about a lot of the trips that we've taken and liked, and they're places that you can book with us and go on your horseback riding vacation of your dreams. So lots of different options.
All right, great. Well, thank you, darling. We appreciate you being here, and we'll talk to you again next month about more of the things that go on behind the scenes at Equitrek.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye,
that,
darling.
The ones that she can actually tell us about.
I know. Yeah, hey, right? Hey. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Glenn, there is a company that we just love as the Horse Radio Network that offers products to improve lifestyle and mobility, and they have been the mainstay in European therapeutic riding products for many years. Plus, they're used and endorsed by many of the top dressage, eventing, and show jumping riders worldwide. What am I talking about? We're talking about Back on Track. If you're looking for a quality holiday gift for any horse lover that will truly benefit their horse, then look no further than on any of Back on Track's exercise boots, bell boots, saddle pads, or sheets. Visit backontrackproducts.com today, or you can always give them a call at 888-758-9836.
Thanks, Jamie. We appreciate that. So, you know, I wanted to tell you one of the stories that I had while we're waiting for Richard to be on the phone here. We owned a big farm. We owned a farm with about 25 horses, and we had, you know, we had 100 acres, and it was a big place. It was in Pennsylvania at the time. So you were talking about farm accidents. Well, the one day, and I've told this story once, I think, on Stable Scoop before, the one day I went to work. I was actually working out of the house, one of the very few times I've ever done that in my life. And I went to work. Everything was fine in the morning. I get home in the evening, and Jennifer, my wife and producer, she's in a cast. Her arm is in a cast when I get home in the evening. And I said, oh, and she didn't call me nothing. Just I came home and her arm was in a cast. And I said, okay, what happened to you? And she's like, well, I was leading your little pony. Now my pony was about 13 and a half hands. And she said, I was leading my little pony and I was walking along and all of a sudden, the dog came up behind the pony, barked, the pony spooked, knocked her over. She put her arm out and broke her arm. Now, you know, most of the time when you have accidents like that or when you have problems you break things around horses, it's on the ground. You know, it's just like
yeah.
that. You're not riding. You know, you're on the ground. So she finished doing the barn with her broken arm, drove herself to the hospital, got her arm set, did all that thing in the emergency room, drove home, and when I got home that night, she was doing the evening barn. Now,
That is a horse chick right there. Oh, my gosh. So she, you know what? We've got to take some calls on this. 347-637-3238, because there are just so many dumb things. And that reminded me, if I could tell this story of driving myself to the hospital. First of all, horse girls are the toughest in the world. I mean, What chick is going to drive herself to the hospital with a broken arm? You know, a horse chick. So
that's right.
The farm that I used to live at in Atlanta, I only had one pasture. We were building the barn, and I had to feed all my horses in the pasture, but I would tie them each to the fence, bring them their bucket, they would eat, and then I'd let them go. That's the only way I could keep, you know, the dominant one from beating up the old man and so on and so forth. So I remember I went and fed them, and I had them all out in a line. And I see there's four of them, and I see the one on the far left, Maximus. He is going crazy, crazy. And then I see the one next to him start going crazy, just like pulling back and bucking while tied to the fence. The third one starts going crazy, so I go sprinting out there, and I go up to Maximus, the first horse who starts going nuts. And then I see that he's covered in bees, yellow jackets. All over his body.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh, Glenn. So I reach over the fence with my hand and try to unclip his lead rope. As I'm unclipping his lead rope, I look at my arm, and then there's bees all over my arm. There's a nest right underneath where I've been tying him up twice a day, every day for months. I have to run from him to the next horse, to the next horse, to the next horse, and unsnap them all from the fence. And thank God for quick release, right? But I unstap them all from the fence, and then all five of us are just running, covered, you know, swatting your arms in the air, waving them around, running as fast as we possibly can because we're all covered in bees. I had 67 yellow jacket stings at the time. And, of course, when you have that many yellow jacket stings, you know, my hand from unclipping the lead ropes was swollen 10 times the size that it should be. And so, of course, what do you have
to do? My gosh.
You have to drive yourself to the hospital with my big swollen hands. And I had a stick shift. And it just It just got worse and worse and worse. So there's got to be tons of stories of people just doing dumb stuff. I talked about my horse running over me earlier this morning. So 347-637-3238. We wanted to take your call on, you know, pretty much throughout the entire show on what exactly you did that either landed you in the hospital, was something really stupid that you, you know, you were sore for days. I'm sure that Glenn and Jennifer have had their experiences, huh?
We had, I want to tell you real quick, we had Jennifer's brother. Jennifer's brothers were a bit on the wild side when they were younger, and they slowly grew out of that into their 20s and 30s, and have turned out to be quite the noble citizens now. But her brother, I'll never forget this, we had a big Oliver tractor, and it was one of those, you know, pretty big ones. And we used to do the fields and all that kind of stuff with this Oliver tractor. We had a lot of woods on our property, too. Well, I'll be darned if the one day he didn't take the Oliver tractor out to pull a log out of the woods and actually – now, this was the ones with the big tires that are bigger than you, you know?
Right.
You know, I'll be darned if one day he didn't actually drive the tractor between two trees thinking he could fit and got it stuck.
The
tractor absolutely stuck between two trees, big trees, and it wouldn't move. I mean, it was wedged in there. He must have been gunned it and been running at those trees when he got stuck between them. We actually had to get the chainsaw out and carefully cut down one of the trees to get the tractor.
Oh, my gosh. And that was at your farm?
Yes.
And so it was your tractor?
Yeah. Hey,
yes.
Glenn, did you tell them how big this tractor was?
Yeah, it was a big tractor. I mean, this was a 770. It was a good size tractor.
The back tires of this tractor are taller than me, and I'm 5'10".
Oh my gosh!
This is a big Mo Hummer.
Hey, I see we do have a caller on the line here, Jamie. Let's say hi. Is this Marianne?
This is.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Hey, is this Marianne, the Marianne we talked about earlier that thinks I'm the sexiest man on radio?
Yeah, that would be me.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. I have to fix my hair.
Remember, you're on the radio.
Oh, that's right. Darn. So now that was quite a compliment. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that.
Oh, well, I meant it in the most sincerest way.
Wow.
Oh,
and now,
gosh,
was that actually a compliment, the whole Norm Abrams thing? I wasn't quite sure.
Oh, yeah.
But...
absolutely. Okay. My husband is so sick of me going on about Norm Abrams for the years.
Now he's going to come hunt you down, Glenn.
Jamie looked up Norm Abrams because she didn't know who he was. That's how young she is. And she didn't know who he was. And tell her your reaction there, Jamie.
I think they look like they were twins separated at birth. They're identical, and, yeah, no clue who that guy was, but if that's your type, then, yeah, you're going to fight Jennifer.
Pardon? Do you have horses?
I have one saddlebred.
Oh, do you? Cool. And so do you listen to our other shows, or how did you find out about Horses in the Morning?
I do. I started listening to the Weg show, which I was very disappointed it's now over, but I love that one. And so got hooked into all the rest of them.
Well, that's neat. Well, we appreciate you being a listener. What state are you from?
Indiana.
Oh, okay. See, that's not too far from Kentucky. Did you come down to the Weg at all?
No, I had to work.
Ah, okay. Well, we appreciate you listening. Obviously, you heard me invite you to call this morning, so we appreciate you listening. I really appreciate you. Made my morning. You really did.
Well,
we had a tough day.
That's what it was meant to do. That I appreciate.
Well,
Marianne, I have heard nothing other than this comment, so you know, we really appreciate that, but you know, you just swelled his head up too big.
You made my day and ruined Jamie's.
Well, I really do. I love the show and I love the concept, and I hope it goes very well for you guys.
Well, thank you. We invite you to keep calling, okay? We want you to keep calling back.
Good.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Marianne. We didn't even get to the fact that she was – you got so just elated with her comments with you. You didn't even ask her if she had any horse accidents with her horse.
Oh, no, I didn't, because I was kind of flustered at the moment.
I know. My gosh. Ladies?
And it was Marianne. It wasn't Marianne. It was Marianne. I think we had that. I said that wrong, so I apologize, Marianne, which is a pretty name. So I really appreciate it. I should have told her she could have left me comments like that every morning, and I would have just had a great day the rest of my life.
Oh, my gosh. You would be a mess every morning. It's so funny. I do know how to get what I want now. All I have to do is go, Glenn, I would like a raise. You know what? You're so good looking. I think you're the best good looking, most good looking guy in the world. Can I double my pay? And you'll go, oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, I'm writing that down.
Oh, no, you're in trouble because Jennifer's the bookkeeper. So.
Jennifer, you are so – it probably won't work the same if I tell Jennifer she's so pretty.
Yeah, it's probably not going to have the same effect, no. You know, I wanted to we are coming up on that time of day when we're going to be getting to the news. So we had to bypass the news yesterday because of the couple of issues that we had there. But we're going to be doing the news today. Chris is going to be providing us the news every day. So we're coming up on that. And, of course, we want to hear your horse stories about you around the barn and what your horses have done in the past. So we would love for you to do that. Give us a call about those topics at 347-637-3238. But right now, let's take a little break and hear the news. And I know at the end of the news, she talks about Einstein, which was one of my favorite stories right now. So let's take a listen to the news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. The 52nd Annual Washington International Horse Show was held last week at the Verizon Center in downtown Washington, D.C., and included hunter competitions from top national professional and amateur riders performing in front of judges Ralph Caristo, Lyndon Hoff, and Jimmy Tirano. The children's and adult hunter divisions each had a two-round $10,000 championship. Sienna Somerville rode Lexington to win the children's hunter championship, while Ainsley Sadlow and Vermilion took first place in the Adult Hunter Championship. McLean Ward and Sapphire captured the prestigious President's Cup worth $100,000. In 2009, the Arizona Horse Council and the equine rescue community began lobbying for a public list of reputable rescue organizations to help people find help for their horses. As a result, the Arizona Department of Agriculture has established a statewide equine rescue registry to save horses' lives. In order to get on the list, horse rescuers must be non-profit organizations and get a veterinary stamp of approval for their health and safety standards. They must also pay a small registration fee and are reviewed annually. Chip Wilson, Vice President of the Arizona Horse Council, said the registry will give people a way to tell the difference between rescues they can trust and the unscrupulous organizations who build themselves as shelters, then turn around and sell horses, sometimes to slaughterhouses. The good rescue groups will not only keep the horses safe, they'll also try to work with horse owners to help keep their animals wherever possible. The World Games 2010 Foundation has announced the total ticket sales for the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games of 411,023, and that's based upon a preliminary reconciliation. Tickets sold in 63 countries and 50 U.S. states. Preliminary estimates show approximately 70% of sales came from outside Kentucky. Those top countries represented in these figures include Canada, Switzerland, Australia, England, Mexico, Germany, South Africa, France, New Zealand, and the Netherlands. The calculated total event attendance at the World Equestrian Games was 507,022, which included volunteers, media, staff, teams, and children under the age of 12 who did not require a ticket for entry to the grounds. And finally, there's a little horse called Einstein, who is 6 months old and weighs less than 50 pounds, making a big impact with new friends as he brings comfort and joy this holiday season. Owner Carmen Cantrell is among the residents at a retirement home in Bellingham, Washington State, who gathered last week to meet Einstein, one of the world's smallest horses, as he visited the home. Einstein, who got his name from his standout white frizzy mane and big blue eyes, is going to be the subject of a Disney Book Group photographic picture book called A Friend for Einstein, the Smallest Stallion. Many of the residents had seen Einstein during his recent television appearance on Oprah. The horse was born in New Hampshire and has toured with the owner's family and will be heading to California so he can stay warm for the winter. You can follow Einstein's travel on his own website, EinsteinMiniHorse.com. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Ready? Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way.
Well, Einstein, Einstein was a better story than her one the other day, which had a happy ending, but was kind of hard to listen to first thing in the morning when you're eating your breakfast.
Oh, you are not kidding. When she was the girl that fell off, and then I can't even repeat
it. Yeah, let's not
even
go there. But Einstein, have you seen pictures of that little guy?
I haven't.
Well, we're going to put a picture of Einstein in our show notes today. Einstein is the cutest little thing. And he is obviously out to do some good now. So that's kind of neat that they're taking this smallest horse and doing some cool things with it. Well, next up, we have one of our regular segments. It's going to happen every Wednesday here on Horses in the Morning. And that is with our friends from The Horse. And right now we have Christy and Steph here. How are you guys?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Well, let's talk to Christy first. Christy, tell us what your title is over there at The Horse.
Thanks, Glenn. I'm a digital editor and producer of thehorse.com, which means I oversee our digital products. And Stephanie here is our editor-in-chief for the magazine and the brand as a whole.
She's the big boss.
Something like that. She's definitely taller than me.
So, Stephanie, let's start with you. Let's talk a little bit. This segment every week is going to be about horse health. It's going to be our horse health news segment. But I want to we thought for the first time you guys were here that we would actually introduce the horse a little bit to people who are not familiar with it as a website and as a publication and everything that you guys do. So can you give us a little bit of the history of the horse and how it got started and where it's at now and where you're going?
Okay, certainly. The horse is the whole title of The Horse is called The Horse, Your Guide to Equine Healthcare. We're a monthly magazine is what we started out as, but actually before we were called The Horse, Your Guide to Equine Healthcare, there was a magazine called Modern Horse Breeding, and our company purchased that magazine, and they converted it into a publication that was going to be across the whole span of horse health in all breeds, all disciplines. And we basically take all of the information that's out there from veterinarians, and we turn it from vet speak into horse owner speak. And we basically like to be that conduit between veterinarians and horse owners. We also have our website, thehorse.com. It's a big part of what we do, and of course Christy, she handles all of that. And we all work on it, but Christy is our digital editor and producer, so she spends the bulk of her time working on things online. And we just try to educate people about what's going on with their horses, how to take better care of them, and what's going on in the industry as it relates to horse health.
Well, you know
cool,
what you
man.
Guys actually do? When I read the magazine, and I've subscribed to the magazine for years because all the medical stuff is very, very interesting to me, and I love the way you guys do put everything in the speak that, you know, regular horse people can understand, as opposed to the way your veterinarian sometimes can deliver it, which you're like, I have to go look up that word. But the one thing, you guys scare me to death. I swear, I have seen 40 different diseases that my horse has because I read all about it. But again, I think it's funny that it scares me, but it educates as well. And you know, kudos to you guys for putting it that way to where regular horse people can understand what you're talking about.
Well, thank you. That's what we strive to do. And it's funny, we kind of call ourselves acronym Hades sometimes because we have so many different types of diseases that we talk about with so many different acronyms to describe them. But you're prepared for anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the way that the titles are listed, they like yell at you like laminitis, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I need to learn about laminitis? But it gets the point across.
Well, we certainly don't mean to scare you.
Is there hypochondriac, a person that thinks they're sick all the time? Is there a term for people who think their horses are sick all the time?
Hmm.
I don't know, would that be a version of Munchausen's by proxy or something like that?
Oh, yeah, probably. So, yeah, I have that.
There's an article for you guys. There's a new. There's an article for your for next week all about you can make up a term. You guys are the experts on horse health. You could just make up a term.
Yeah, we could come up with that, couldn't we? Sometimes we
really.
What
do you plan on doing going ahead on the show on Horses in the Morning in your segment?
Well, we have a number of ideas, and some of them are going to spin off of some of the things that we've asked our readers in the past. For example, one of my favorites was we had a poll on what's the craziest thing your horse ever ate or drank, and we had a ton of answers for that. My current favorite was the horse that ate somebody's wedding ring.
Oh, wow.
We got that back, but I hope so. So there's some things there, and so we'll discuss some things about, you know, why might a horse eat some very odd things. There were some answers in there as well about carnivorous horses that were a little scary, and how to keep your horse from eating those things, and what some of the repercussions could be of some of these types of things a horse might eat. We've also got some things going forward about how horses cope with cold weather, physically speaking, how you can help them better cope with cold weather since we're coming into winter. Some topics possibly on rescuing neglected horses, such as possibly the legal aspects of getting involved, and as well as, of course, the care aspects of rehabilitating a horse that's been seriously neglected. Got some topics on caring for your older horse, biosecurity on your farm, craziest farm calls that our vets have dealt with. So we've got kind of a pretty good mix, and I'm sure we'll have some good stories for some of those.
Well, that's great.
I do want to mention you guys are really, really active in horse rescue, and so much of your website is dedicated to finding new horses' homes. I mean, there's 300 horses listed that you guys are helping find homes for, plus, you know, different rescues that are associated with thehorse.com. So we do appreciate you being a bit of a voice for those people that are looking for a place, and also the horse itself.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up. We actually reached a milestone not too long ago with our adoptable horse service, which lists horses available free to good homes, and we just provide the information for the current owners and the potential owners to get in touch with each other. We started with a thoroughbred listing service sponsored by Gainesway Farms a couple of years ago, and then the U.S. Trotting Association sponsored one for standardbreds. Now we've opened it up to all breeds, but just not too long ago we reached a milestone of having 500 horses adopted out through that service. And
oh,
that
wow.
makes us all very, very, very happy. And, of course,
well, congratulations.
A lot of as well. So thanks so much. We're hoping to just keep accelerating that service and get their unwanted horses becoming much more and more of a buzzword as, you know, people are less able to take care of their horses, financially speaking, because of the way the economy's turned. And we certainly want to make sure that all the horses possible have the right homes.
Yeah.
Well, you guys also in the past year or so, and I know I've had this conversation with you a number of times, are really getting more involved in new media. You really have started to take at least the website, I'm not going to say away from horse health, but you've started to enhance the website with some non-horse health articles and things that you do. You carry all of our shows now, which, by the way, we thank you and we appreciate. But you really are starting to branch out into other areas now.
we're definitely trying to do that, and we're trying to engage our readers a little bit more. It's very easy when you're talking about horse health to become just a conduit in one direction, and we have a lot more fun when we engage our readers, as I mentioned earlier, with some of our polls on, you know, what's the nuttiest thing your horse ever did or ate or the oddest injury he ever had. We've done some stuff on Facebook like that, and some of the answers on to that one were, frankly, a little bit scary sometimes. But we've also done things like asked our followers to post some of their favorite Halloween photos, you know, from this last weekend. We have several of those up if you'd like to take a look. And just trying to get involved a little bit more. I mean, horse health can be, it can seem very dry and very technical, and, you know, for certain, but it can be fun, too. I mean, we have a pretty good time around the office. We like to do things like, for example, Stephanie can tell you a little bit more about the office Halloween costume contest where there were recently WEG gone wrong.
WEG gone wrong?
We generally have a theme. Our group gets together and has a theme for each Halloween. And this year we decided to do What's Left of WEG or WEG Gone Wrong. And the three of us that were in the office last Thursday, I was an eventer that had a collision with a tree and a jump flag. And our departments and features editor, she is actually a show jumper in real life. I'm a past eventer in real life. But our show jumper, she'd had an encounter with the Liverpool, so she was completely wet, and she was wearing goggles around her neck. And our resident rodeo person that we have, who is a photo and newsletter editor, she was our reiner, and she had been spun off, so she had an arm injury, and she was wearing a neck brace. So we had What's Left of WEG.
Oh, that's funny.
We had a great time with it.
So are those pictures online at thehorse.com?
Yeah, can we see those?
They're on our Facebook page, actually, and we've gotten some fun feedback on that. In fact, one of our readers was actually asking, are you okay? Because I guess our injuries looked a little too real.
I think it was the jump flag sticking out of your head.
Oh, that's true, and the bruise on my face. But
but was it red or white? I mean, which one?
It was red. My horse drifted to the right.
Okay.
Jumped to the right.
Were you an eventer before, Seth?
I was. I evented I was a hunter jumper until I was about 12, and then I had a pony who wasn't really a hunter, so we discovered the world of Pony Club, and we became eventers, and then I evented through prelim up through my college years, and have since just, I don't have a horse right now, but I ride other people's horses, and my mom and dad have 7 horses back home in Virginia where my retired eventer still lives, so... And Christy has a background in riding as well.
Do you, Christy?
I do. I don't. I'm as with Stephanie. I don't have any horses right now. But I grew up. I started out riding on my mom. My parents are not horse people, but my mom had a good friend. Is still a good friend, who had a rescued slaughterhouse walking horse mare, and her daughter, who was, I think she was about 8 or 9 at the time. I was about 2 or 3, and she was giving me lessons. Sort of, so to speak. She kept a little journal. It's quite funny to look at. But I ended up working at Sea Island Stables growing up down here in southeast Georgia, and took out trails and a number of other things, gave some lessons. We did all the sorts of, you know, birthday parties for kids and things like that. But I also showed a little bit of saddle seat, and got into intercollegiate when I was in school, and did a lot of stock seat equitation and a little bit of reining there. So I ride other people's horses occasionally now as well, but still focus
so
on the care aspect.
You said you rode intercollegiate. What school?
University of Kentucky and the University of Wisconsin when I was there for grad school.
Oh, right on, right on. That's great.
It was a lot of fun. It's a very challenging thing to draw a horse out of a hat and try to do well in it.
I thought it was great. I actually judged a bunch of the intercollegiate shows up at Midway College when I lived in Lexington. And hats off to all the intercollegiate riders, because that is tough.
That it is interesting. It's definitely a luck of the draw type thing. And, you know, I think that is, you just show once or twice, you know, the luck of the draw is huge. But across the season, you certainly see who is really able to adapt quickly and ride any horse very well.
Yeah. So you guys, what is one thing, where are you guys located right now? Are you in Kentucky?
Lexington, Kentucky. Christy works remotely from Georgia.
Oh, she's in Georgia.
Right here in Lexington.
Okay, so what is one thing that you think that it's coming up in your magazine or it's online right now? What is the one thing you would tell horse owners, the most important tip that you can give a horse owner about their horse's health?
Well, I would say that the biggest thing to keep your horse as healthy as possible is to be observant for any signs that things are changing, or you know, any with your horse's behaviors changing that indicate maybe he's not feeling as well, or you know, you're looking at him every day as you groom him or whatever, and you look for any of those small things before they turn into really big things. And have a good working relationship with your veterinarian, because a lot of people, I think, you know, are kind of hesitant to call the vet out, and maybe it's because of the expense, or maybe it's because they're just hoping it's something that they can deal with at home. And you know, we certainly don't need the vet for every you know scratch or bump or fly bite by any means, but we just, in speaking with these veterinarians a lot, you run into a lot of descriptions of, yeah, there was this case, and it didn't have to be such a big thing. If they just talked to us a little bit sooner, we could have intervened a little bit sooner. So I think just being observant with your horse, having a good working relationship with your vet, and being able to communicate well with your vet.
That is very, very well said. That's for sure. And I think, unfortunately, with the economy today, people are waiting longer to call their vet because, you know, it's expensive. But, you know, a lot of stuff doesn't have to go on as long as it does. So if knowing your horse, exactly like you said, knowing your horse and being observant, you know when you need to call the vet or not. And just, you know, go for it. That's why we have them. We got to take care of them.
Exactly. And, you know, we asked our readers on Facebook not too long ago if they were aware of a lot of problems, you know, in their areas with people having to give up horses or health problems because of the economy. And we did have one reader who said that, you know, she had recently been laid off from her job, and the very first thing she did was vaccinate all of her animals because she wasn't sure when she was going to be able to afford it again. And I thought that was just a really powerful thing. She's putting the care of her animals very high on her priority list, even though she's recently got laid off from her job. And I just thought that was a really impressive thing.
And
wow, that
I think,
is impressive.
I think something else that, due to the economy, it's an opportunity for us as horse owners to really be proactive when we do have our vet out. If you have to ask the question three times to get an answer that makes sense to you, ask it three times and educate yourself more so that you don't end up calling the vet because you did something inappropriate, wrong, whatever, for lack of knowledge.
Right, and I think almost all veterinarians out there are going to be very, very happy to answer your questions. I mean, they may be busy, they may be in a hurry, but, you know, ultimately an educated client is a better client for them as well.
Yeah,
ask three times
because so many times the vet might not realize you want to know. If you really, really understand why he's there and what he's doing, you're going to be better at taking care of your horse, and you're going to have to call him less often.
Well, absolutely. And there's also a number of places you can look online for more information on whatever your vet may have diagnosed or told you to watch out for. And that's kind of what thehorse.com is good for. We've got over 17,000 articles archived, and you know, all of our feature articles are veterinarian reviewed for accuracy. So that, you know, we've got a lot of information on these things as well. So definitely talk to your vet. Your vet may have some resources to recommend. We've got some resources as well, and we all want the same thing, which is, you know, healthier horses and happier owners.
Okay, now today we're talking about, we got to put these two on the spot a little bit, Jamie. So today we're talking about the stupid things we've done to get ourselves hurt, or just the stupid things we've done around the farm. You each have to have a story, your horse people. So, Steph, what's your story of the dumb thing that got you hurt, or you know, something like that around the barn?
You know, I was listening to you guys talking about that earlier, and I've had a whole lot of horse injuries, but I'm trying to remember a specific one that resulted from me just being stupid. I do remember a stupid situation where I was a kid, and I thought I saw a snake, and I was up on top of one of the fences for about 2 hours waiting for someone to come rescue me, and then I realized it was a lead rope. But that was pretty stupid. But in terms of being injured, I guess I would say I was on a trail ride once when I was a kid, and as we were going through the woods down this path, horses were freaking out. They were rearing up, spinning and turning around and running off, or they were just refusing to go through. And my pony was just bomb-proof, and she would do anything. So they were like, why don't you take Pacer and lead the group down the path? And so I did that to be the brave lead pony. And what I realized after I started walking was there was actually a hornet's nest over into the shrubs. And she got stung too. So bless her heart. I mean, she tried to walk through, but she got stung. And so she ended up spinning and taking off too. And I fell off and was stung, but, you know, I guess you just pay attention. I should have been paying attention a little more to what these horses were reacting to.
Yeah, but. And you know what? That just goes to show you that there is nothing, there's no bomb-proof. Your pony, even in the midst of bees, will turn and run away. So bomb-proof is all relative.
Yeah, there's bomb-proof, yes. But there's no such thing as wasp or hornet-proof.
Yeah.
That's right.
I just remembered something from last year that you guys might enjoy. I was on a trail ride with a relatively green horse, and we were getting ready to pass through a pretty wide creek. And I would say that at the deepest part of the creek, it was probably about 2 feet deep. And it had a very good entry and a very good exit, very safe and inviting. But the horse just decided he did not want to go in. He was like, no, this is not my thing today. And so we just stood there and waited, and we tried just about every which way to get him into the water. And eventually, the owner of the horse stood behind me, and she's just like, well, I'll just encourage him a little bit from behind with her crop.
Uh-oh.
So she tapped him a few times on the rump with the crop, and, you know, being that I wasn't applying the force, I didn't know when the horse was going to move. And
oh, no.
Eventually, he launched into the air, and he tucked his legs because he wasn't really sure what else to do. And when he tucked his legs, of course, he did a very large belly flop in the water.
Oh, wow.
I came off. I was submerged underneath him in the creek. And
ooh.
We both stood up, and we kind of were stunned for a moment. And we were very fortunate. Neither one of I think he had a little bit of a, just a little nick on one of his pasterns. But I was completely unharmed, just completely soaked. But that was,
see,
I need to be the one to be doing the encouraging, not someone else.
This is exactly the kind of stuff we want to hear about, because you know that you should not have somebody standing behind that horse hitting him with a crop. 347-637-3238 is our phone number, and we just want to hear from you. 347-637-3238. The dumb stuff that you did that you probably knew better. I was on my cell phone messing with my horse, and, you know, Vinny spooked and knocked me over. I had no hands, and this is the kind of stuff we want to hear from you guys about. The dumb stuff you did around your horse that you probably knew better.
Now, Christy, do you have one?
Of course. Mine's not quite as dramatic as Stephanie's, though. Although it does involve water, and it does involve distraction. So I'm trying to tie everything together here. As I mentioned, I used to take out trail rides at Sea Island Stables for several years, and we rode on the beach. And I was at the time riding a somewhat green horse, and he had been doing very well for the last month or two. And so I was relaxing on him probably a little bit too much. We were walking back towards the barn, and I was walking him in the edge of the water, and my best guess is that a fish swam by his foot or something and just scared the heck out of him. All I know is that he went straight up in the air. I went straight up and a little bit further beyond straight up in the air. I was turned around half backwards in the saddle talking to one of my guests. Came down, you know, with the back of one leg on the saddle horn, and then, of course, ended up flat on my back in the water, nice and embarrassing. But luckily, he was not so green that he went home, and he just kind of he got over his little panic and looked at me like, what are you doing down there? So I, you know, caught him and hopped back on, and all was well. But definitely, you know, distraction, twisting around in the saddle, paying attention to something else on a green horse, not so smart.
Yeah, it's not so smart on a not green horse. So.
No, not either.
Well, thank you, guys. We are looking forward to you joining us every week with some horse health news and some fun stuff that you've done over there at thehorse.com. And, of course, it's thehorse.com. They can find you also on Facebook just by searching The Horse, right?
Yep, facebook.com/thehorse.
Okay. And you do Twitter, too, as well, because I follow you on Twitter.
Absolutely. Please do.
And what's your Twitter handle? Is it just The Horse?
Same. Yep, The Horse.
Yes,
okay,
The
good.
Horse.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Thank you so much for contributing. And look, I put the big boss on the spot with her embarrassing story, so so we'll see if Steph ever talks to me again. thank you, guys.
Okay. All right,
only if
we get
to return the favor. Thanks so much.
All right,
bye-bye. Well, it was great to have them on. They'll be on with us every week with a segment we're calling Horse Health News. You know, there are back on track is not just for the pros. Any level of rider can benefit from their unique line of therapeutic products for horses, humans, and dogs. Back on Track has some new products available: exercise boots, bell boots, and Western saddle pads. Visit Back on Track products today. That's backontrackproducts.com, or give them a call at 888 858-9836. And we invite your call at 347-637-3238. We'll be here for about 20 more minutes. And remember, we're giving away today, Jamie, we are giving away a three-pack worth $100 of personalized custom stall signs for your barn, or for your, you can put them in your house above your room. You can make them into whatever you want to do. And that's from EasySignsOnline.com. They do all kinds of farm signs over there, and they do a terrific job from big to small to little customized farm signs and stall signs like we're talking about here. You know,
and just a reminder, too, Glenn, that we are every caller that calls in and gets on the show is going to be entered for a grand prize, and we have two awesome grand prizes. All you have to do is call in the show and tell us, talk to us about whatever, 347-637-3238, and you will win either a $500 holiday shopping spree from Equestrian Collections, equestriancollections.com, or your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600. So, you know, the reason to call in is definitely there, and all we need is your ridiculous story. Stories about the stuff you did to get hurt around your horse, and I might have another one for you, Glenn.
Okay. Before you get to that, I wanted to say that I have gotten the reports in about the mobile apps.
So oh, really?
And we're also still trying to get Richard Trake. We promised Richard Trake at the beginning of the show, but we're having trouble connecting with him. I don't know if there was a time difference that, or, you know, a communication error, but Jennifer's still trying to get him on the line. If we don't get him on today, we'll have him on later. I'm sure he'll be glad to come back at a later time. But one of the things that I just got texted was that on the iPhone and on most Droid phones, and that would be any phone that has the Android operating system. You can buy those at almost any of the vendors now have Android phones. But this is what I found out. I got confirmation that it works on the iPhone to listen to our show streaming live, and it works on most Droid phones. You just have to give it a try, and it's very simple to do. So we're going to let the cat out of the bag now. All you do is open up your browser, your web browser on your phone, and
okay,
you type
I'm
in,
doing it right now.
Okay, do this right now. Oh. And you type in horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I. Mobi is the abbreviation for mobile phones. And if you type in horsesinthemorning.mobi, you're going to see a page come up. And on that page, if you scroll down a little bit, is today's current show, the show we're doing, episode number 3, and it's for November the 3rd. And if your phone is working correctly, or if you have an iPhone, or if you have the correct Droid ones that work, you're going to see a play button, and you'll be able to play and listen to our phone live right through your browser. So
okay.
I don't.
Okay. Horsesinthemorning.mobie.
M-O-B-I.
M-O-B-I.
It's horsesinthemorning.mobi. That's correct. And you're going to see a page come up after it loads, and you're going to see on air now. And it says, and either you're going to be showing an on live now, 47 minutes remaining, or you're going to be showing a play now button there. It's going to be one or the other, depending on whether your phone is working or not with this application. But your iPhone should work.
It works.
Do you hear us?
Well, I'm not listening to it because I have headphones on right now, but I will be listening to it a little bit later.
But you had a play now button. Does it say play now? Is that what it says?
It says play live. Okay, I'll hit play. This is going to be crazy. I'll put it into the phone.
Okay, yeah, you do that because we're this is all like cutting edge here. And hey, I hear myself. Yay! It worked.
That's amazing. So there's like a 7 second
delay. Which phone
do you
have, Jamie?
I have the iPhone.
Which is it? The newer version? There's an older iPhone, or?
Well, it's not the super fancy, you know, several hundred dollar version, but I got it about probably 6 months ago.
Okay. So,
but it's not the super upgrade or anything.
Well, if you're still on that page on your phone, Jamie, if you scroll down, you see the on-air now. But if you go down further, you're going to see the past episodes. And you can also play them and listen to them from your phone, too.
That's great. This is so right cool. That's
yay.
Cool.
So we will put announcements out about, yeah.
I'm actually trying it on mine just for hoots and giggles.
What do you have, a droid? Or
I don't. I got it, Glenn. It's playing.
Really? On your little phone? She has a little no-name, no-script phone that I didn't know would even do that.
Well, let's see if I'm actually getting the show. I'm getting sound.
I didn't know that would even do that.
That is so cool. I have a little dinky $50 no smartphone, and it worked.
Well, that's great.
So if you have a web browser on your phone, try it.
Yeah, so we'll put that announcement on Facebook to we'll start announcing the heck out of that, and we'll put the instructions on the website too. But it's very simple. You just go to your browser on your phone and you type in horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I, and you'll see it right there.
What mine did, Glenn? I figured this out. This is a huge leap of intelligence for me. What mine did is it brings up the website and it called the phone number.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a Listen Now button, and I pressed the Listen Now button, and it called the phone number. So on our switchboard here at Horses in the Morning, it shows up as an inbound call.
Huh.
So I wonder if that's kind of cool. You can just...
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'll have to play with it some more. We weren't sure if it even worked, and I had some people testing it this morning, and they texted me. We'll have to play with it some more and see if there is a way where on that same screen you can hit a button and actually have your phone call the show.
Yeah,
so I think
on a non-smartphone like I have, I think what it does is it will play the show, but I would not be able to call the show at the same time I'm listening to it.
Right,
yeah.
Right, correct.
But I'd be able to hear it on my cell phone, which I carry around everywhere in the world with me, so that's pretty awesome.
Good. Well, there you go. That's how you might be able to take a listen. And, of course, all you'd have to do is plug some earphones in, put your phone in your pocket, and walk around listening to us in your barn while you do your chores or while you're at work or any place driving down the road. You don't have access to a computer. That's a place that you could do it. So right there, that's my big announcement. I think it's going to be cool.
I think that's awesome, Glenn. I'm super excited for that technology. I had no idea that this kind of stuff was even possible. So thank goodness it's Glenn the Geek, because you're called that for a reason. Because you can figure this stuff out.
With a little help from my buddy, John the Geek. You know, it's funny. We had Marie on earlier. Marie Ann. I don't want to get her name wrong again.
It's Marianne.
That's right. We had Marianne on earlier. Sorry about that, Marianne. Now I'm not the sexiest guy anymore. But it's so funny how many emails or how many people I meet in person, especially at the WEG, who say, you don't look like a geek at all. Because I have this name, Glenn the Geek, which I've had for 15 years probably now. And it's just stuck, and it's been with me ever since. But I do get a lot of people to say, well, you don't look like a geek. So I must have to wear my pocket protector more or something.
Well,
hey Jamie, you said you had another story of disaster and woe.
Yes, I have plenty of them. You know, I was remembering the fact that the first time I went to a chiropractor, Glenn, and you know, they sit you down and they're like, please tell me about any injuries that you've had. And I talked for like 35 minutes to this chiropractor, and of course they only book you for like 15 minutes because you're in and out. So I told this guy about so much stuff, and he was like, oh my gosh, you're a mess. You are just a mess. So one of the ones she was talking about going out and riding, there might have been a little bit of maybe Bud Light involved in this story. There was some, yeah, drinking and riding is worse than cell phones and horses together at the same time. But it was snowing. I lived in Kentucky. It was very exciting. We decided to take the horses out. And I was at a friend's place, and they said, here, hop on this Appaloosa. And the Appaloosa has no mane. It's roached mane, and they have, you know, very small tails anyway. So I'm get on this horse. We put the bridle on, go out riding, and they failed to tell me that the horse was a little barn sour. And so I start kind of like encouraging the horse to continue on. And he reared straight up in the air, which when you're bareback on a horse with no mane, makes you just slide straight off the back of the horse. Then the addition of about a foot and a half of snow made the horse then fall over, and the horse fell down, fortunately, right next to me. But the great thing was, Glenn, that in a foot and a half of freshly fallen snow, a fall off of a horse doesn't hurt that bad because you just go right into the snow. Of course,
right,
I was buried.
No.
I do miss that in Phoenix, Arizona, because every fall here hurts.
Ooh, yeah.
That's true.
No,
you know,
anywhere.
Jamie, we get many emails over the course of time from people who really like the shows, and they ask how they can help support the Horse Radio Network. Well,
mm-hmm.
you already do that by listening to the shows and supporting our terrific sponsors. But there is one other thing that people can do this holiday season to help out. If you enjoy the I'm going to sound like a PBS commercial here. If you like what you hear, if you like all the different shows that we do, and this won't cost you anything, it's easy to do. If you're going to buy anything this holiday season at Amazon.com, before you go shopping, just stop by horsesinthemorning.com and click on the Amazon link at the left side of the page. That will take you to Amazon. Oops, I'm so excited about this, I beat my microphone. That will take you to Amazon, and it lets Amazon know that you're a listener of the Horse Radio Network, and they give us a little bit of credit for everything that you buy. So it doesn't cost you anything but one extra click. Go to horsesinthemorning.com, click on the Amazon link, go buy what you'd buy, and that will work to get us a little bit of credit for everything you buy. It doesn't have to be horse stuff. It can be anything you buy here from now until forever. But we would appreciate you doing that, and it helps support the Horse Radio Network. So I can pay Jamie her raise, which now she's going to ask for. Because she's
Maybe
Jennifer,
not day three. Maybe
we
day
don't
five.
Want to leave Jennifer out. You must have a story. You have a million stories.
You know, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I think I mentally try to just erase them or something because I'm going, well, I know I've done stupid crap. I know. But one of them that you probably haven't heard yet, Glenn.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Back when I had just gotten out of high school, I was working for a pretty large breeding farm in Pennsylvania. They bred standardbreds. And part of our job each day was to zhuzh around the barren mares. They were not in foal. They were just in these giant turnouts. And they would come in every day into this large sub pen from the pastures where they would all get checked and see who was in heat and who had boo-boos and who had lost their halters. And it was pretty close quarters. It was mid to late spring, so there were a lot of barren mares in there. There was an area of maybe 300 feet square total. There were probably 60 horses in there. It was pretty packed.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and we had the teething stallion. He would wander around outside there and see what mares wanted to talk to him.
This is all sounding very safe already.
Yes, very safe. And it was pretty darn chilly out. We were all bundled up. And we had to zhuzh the mares around a lot because the more aggressive mares, whether they were in heat or not, would always go over to visit the stallion and tell him exactly what they thought of him. And the shy mares and the young mares would kind of hang back so they wouldn't get to talk to him. So we would have to shush the...
And you're in the field with the horses doing this?
We're in this holding pen with them, about 60 of them. And we're shushing them around trying to get everybody a shot to say hi to the stallion. And it was really cold, and I had my hands shoved in my pockets. So... they were used to this routine, most of them, but some of them weren't. They were relatively new mares, and they didn't know what the heck was going on. Why are you shushing me around? And one of them decided to have a little hijinks. It was chilly, and give out a good kick. And her right hind foot landed exactly on my belly button.
Oh, no.
And maybe, luckily, I had my hands jammed in my pockets, so she connected with my hand and not my abdomen. And it was funny because we're in there and, hello, walk around, shushing horses around. I mean, and they're just going nuts. You know, they're running here and there and everywhere. Nobody, you know, because there was two of us shushing around. With your hands in your pockets.
Jennifer, this has got to be one of those things where you look back and you're like, everything about that was wrong.
Yes.
Every single part of that was a bad idea. And
yes.
Thank God, you know, it's like you think back to things you did when you're a kid on your horse, and you're like, I cannot believe I am still here. I can't believe it.
We did this 5 days a week for 3 months straight. Yeah. We would just do this. And luckily, all I got out of the deal was a broken hand. But,
oh, my gosh.
Well. Why were we walking around in a pen with 60 horses, 60 mares, and a stallion?
Okay, let's add to that. You were walking around in the pen with 60 horny horses.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Yeah. With a stallion nearby. That was not. And you probably got paid all of about $4 an hour to do that, too.
Well, it was what they would call an entry-level job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Entry-level if you make it out alive. And
if we make it out alive.
Anybody with any brains wasn't doing that job.
Yeah. And this is a really funny one. It never resulted, thank goodness, in an injury. But to get our wonderful teasing stallion, if there's any human being on Earth that you genuinely hate and want to burn in Hades, wish that they get reincarnated as a teasing stallion.
Yeah.
When you think about it, you know?
Yeah, there's no satisfaction to that job, is there?
No, but to get this fellow around, it was a very large breeding farm. And the different broodmare barns were separated by at least a half a mile each. And it was roads in between, proper public roads. And to get this fellow from barn to barn each day, we would hop in the pickup truck, and one person would drive, and the other person would have him have their hand sticking out the truck window with the horse on the lead rope. And we'd just cruise down the road with the stallion on the end of a lead rope from a pickup truck.
Yeah, that's insane. That's just craziness.
And one of the roads we had to travel down was actually a state road. It was, you know, proper yellow lines down the middle. And he'd just cruise along every day, happy as a clown.
Poor little pony.
He
was
most awesome pony in the world. And after about the second year they had him there, the owner of the farm was a wonderful, caring man. He had an old, wasn't even old, she was about 6 year old, a 6 year old mare that she was never going to get in foal. Medically, they'd done everything. It just wasn't going to happen. So during the off season, he got to live with her. They were very happy together.
Okay. Poor. Yeah, he sounds like a great guy.
There's a happy ending for you. Well, guys, it's about that time when we have to wrap things up. We really appreciate everybody that listened today, and we're glad that we made it through the whole day with everything working. We appreciate everybody that called. Jackie will be sending out your book to you. We'll announce the winner of today's three-pack of personalized stall signs from EasySignsOnline.com. We'll announce that here shortly on Facebook. We'll put that on Facebook so you can check it there. Become a Facebook fan. And, of course, you can listen to all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. My highlight show today is the Western Radio Show. Last week, and it's up there now, they had a couple of guests from the rodeo entertainment world, including one of the most well-known, most popular clowns. You know those crazy people? Talk about crazy jobs. There's one. Those crazy people who, you know, hide behind the barrels when the bucking broncos try and run them over and things like that. They had him on. He was hilarious. He was so much fun. He's been doing this for years, and they had a couple of other entertainers on the show. So go over to westernradioshow.com and take a listen to that. That's my highlight show of the day. Also,
and,
you can follow. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. We're on Twitter at Horse Radio, and, of course, Horses in the Morning on Facebook is where you want to find us. If you miss the live show today or tomorrow or any day, you can always listen to the recorded version on our website, iPhone or Droid. You never need to miss an episode. We're on iTunes. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern. We have Reese Koppler-Stanfield. We're going to talk about horseball and take a little look at the history books with Fran Jurgis. And definitely don't miss Friday. We are going to honor Zenyatta in a very big way. She's going for 20 in a row on Saturday at the Breeders' Cup. So we're going to talk about her. We want you to join us. Always feel free to email or call. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Glenn.
Bye, guys.